Welcome to another episode of the podcast. It's lovely to have you here. I'm just going to go ahead and set the scene. I'm home. I'm on the floor by my desk, naturally, where I belong, where I am used to being, where I started all of this. I've just come back from the Friday night show of The Importance of Being Earnest. So we're six shows down this week, first week. But by the time this comes to you on Monday, it will be the last week, actually, of the tour, of the whole tour. The last week in Kingston and the last week of the tour. So, yeah, it's interesting times. I'm feeling I've got a lot of mixed bag of emotions going on. There's a lot of contradictions within me at the moment, I think. But we had a really great show. Actually, I think I was a bit flat today, but the audience responded really, really well. And I think everybody else had a really great show. And that's, you know, it's a team sport. And I'm really pleased with how that went. But yeah, I'm at home. It's lovely to be at home. But I'm in my feels today, this week in general. I have been, I think, very up, very down. And I won't waste any more time. Let's just get into it and talk it out. Maybe I can make sense of it that way.
This is In the Room with Adele James. And here is the unfiltered version of my story.
So the present moment, as I say, I think I'm feeling a lot of complex emotions at the same time. Obviously, I came back from LA last week, last Wednesday it was, and today is Friday, so it's just been just over a week now. And the thing I was not expecting to feel so overwhelmingly that I have been feeling, because I knew I would come back and I would be happy about bringing the show back, I'd be happy about doing the show in my hometown for my friends and family and the people of London. I'm ecstatic that they get to see the best version of the show rather than doing a tour where you start in London, we're finishing in London. And so I've got really happy feelings about being back on the show. It's so happy, you know, and the world is quite depressing at the moment. I don't know if you've noticed. And yet I also overwhelmingly am just really struggling, I guess, with these feelings of grief, this massive feeling of loss. Not so much about the show, because I'm trying my best to be as present as I can in that and to just enjoy it while I've got it. Although I know it's going to be over in the blink of an eye, but I'm trying not to think about that too much. But really, actually, I came back from LA and it smacked me in the face how different my life is and how quickly things changed. And that's mostly what I'll be talking about today, because it's kind of consumed a lot of my brain space has been given to that, I think, this week. And I think I find it an interesting talking point to be so happy in work and so challenged personally at the same time. So yeah. That's the present moment. I'm in a kind of a weird headspace. I'm okay. I'm good. But I am working through some things for sure. So let's have a chat about that.
Actors and non-actors alike, we are busy, busy people. So my coffee lovers, it is my great pleasure to tell you about the wonderful London Nootropics. London Nootropics make adaptogenic coffee blends that are designed to help you stay balanced and flow through your day. They give you all the benefits of regular coffee whilst minimizing the side effects such as jitters, anxiety and crashing that I often experience so much with regular coffee. Made with the highest quality medicinal mushroom extracts and other adaptogens, each blend is designed for a specific purpose. Flow for mental clarity and focus, Zen to alleviate stress and anxiety, and Mojo for a natural boost. You can find your flow and be your best self too with London Nootropics Adaptogenic Coffee, and you can do so with 15% off any order using the voucher code ADELEJ, that's ADELEJ, on londonnootropics.com exclusively. That's London NOOTROPICS.com. This is my absolute favorite and go-to coffee nowadays for such a busy lifestyle. I hope you guys enjoy.
So my outtake for this week, it's only really one outtake, and that I think is about grief, about the paradox of grieving and actually thriving at the same time. which is what I feel is going on. I'm very grateful to be working. I'm very happy to be doing the job that I'm doing. I love the character that I play. It's a huge escape for me and for everybody involved, the company, the audience, everybody, which is gorgeous. It's such a nice thing. But and I've alluded kind of to the fact that I've been going through a lot and that a lot of things have changed for me, and I guess kind of what I've been going through, but I haven't really just said it with my chest because I wasn't really ready, because I don't owe it to anybody, but I feel like I should and I want to now. I've been struggling with the anniversary of a bunch of massive changes in my life. So this time last year, well, around September, I was in a relationship with somebody. I'd been in that relationship for about 3.5 years at that point. You know, relationships are ups and downs. We all know that. But I was living with this person. We were, you know, in a very serious, committed relationship. And we talked about things like marriage. We talked about family and what we both maybe wanted for the future. We talked about where we wanted our careers to go. You know, we had all those big conversations. And in any case, we were very much building a life together, building a home. We had built a home together and we were planning the rest of our lives together. And last September, that was disrupted in a very big way. I won't go into the finer details of it, but something happened that absolutely shattered, I suppose, the illusion of what I thought that relationship was, or what I'd been telling myself it was, or hoping, trying to work to make it. And it devastated me, absolutely devastated me. And to be honest, I've been grieving ever since then. I really, really have. But by that point, what I hadn't realized was how much of a shell of myself I'd become, how unhappy I just was anyway, and the other person clearly was. So last September, the proverbial shite hit the fan. And exactly this time last year, I moved out of the home that we lived in together, although we were still together. And I moved out of that home and, you know, I really did try and keep things going for a long time, but things were not working and slowly they deteriorated to the point where I broke up with that person and then the real grieving began. And so this anniversary of me moving out, I think feels like an anniversary of me choosing myself in a way that I haven't done for a long time, because that was really the point at which I said somewhere deep down to myself, I'm not doing this anymore. We're not doing this anymore. I can't choose misery the way that I have been. But obviously it's been very painful to love someone the way I loved this person, to be hurt the way I was hurt, to uproot my entire life. My life looks completely different now than it did. And, you know, in a lot of ways for the better, a lot of ways for the better. I've done some incredible work in that time on myself. And I've also been fortunate to do two of the best jobs I've had in my entire career. And for that, I'm so grateful. But working through grief, as in working on a job through grieving something, is incredibly difficult. And I think a lot of us are doing it a lot of the time, and we might be grieving any number of things. It could be death. It could be the loss of a relationship, a friendship. It could be many things. For me, I feel like I'm grieving the life I thought I was going to have, the person I thought I was in a relationship with, the person I had lost in myself, the idea that I had, or the construction that I'd made, the illusion that I'd built of this relationship that I did have, a lot of things. And there's something about having come back from LA, a place that felt very hopeful and optimistic, sunny, bright and gorgeous, back into my lovely room in a house share, which I also really love, but very different from building a home with someone, right? And there was something about coming back home into that at the anniversary of having moved and at the kind of beginning of the demise of that relationship, well and truly, the kind of final nail in the coffin, as it were, even though it still kind of tapered on for a little while after that. There was something about coming back into that that just really has really just been a lot for me this week. I've been in my head a lot. I've been thinking a lot. So much has happened in that year. I've gone on to medication. I've come off of medication. I feel like between May and, gosh, August, September of this year, I was just popping pills all the time because I was taking antidepressants. I was also taking medication for what I thought was tonsillitis. Turned out I didn't get tonsillitis three times in a row, which has happened before in previous years. I wish I had have told them to take them out all those years ago now instead of denying it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I developed reflux, which is actually the primary cause of which is extreme stress, of which I've been under a lot, obviously. And yeah, so I had medication for that. Then the medication wasn't working. Then I had to take a different medication. And it's been a lot. I mean, there was a time in June, July time where I couldn't eat a meal without feeling violently sick for hours afterwards. It was so depressing. I couldn't eat anything. I couldn't really drink anything. Everything made me ill. That was before the reflux diagnosis and acid reflux, that is. And before I started going on medication, which ultimately made it better, but it still kind of persists even to this day. I just think so much has happened. And I guess what I realized when I came back was that I haven't healed over as much as I would like to think I have, or as much as I wish I had. You know, my friend in LA always says, we don't live in shoulda, woulda, coulda, Stan. There is no how healed should I be, or would I be, or could I be by this point. It's just, where am I actually? And I think the place I am actually is very much still working through a lot of things. And, you know, that's absolutely well and good and fine. And I have no issue with that, except for the fact that it's difficult, obviously. It's really interesting because, as I say, these feelings are so complex because the grief is difficult, and I'm still working through what it means to be single, what it means to live on my own, sleep in a bed on my own again, what it means to not have someone to message every day, to tell about my day at work, to invite to the show. The last tour I did, my ex was at, gosh, so many of the, probably 80% of the venues that we went to. He came and watched the same show over and over and over again. You know, it's a very, I feel like it's really in my face, the contrast of what my life used to be and what it is now. And again, it's not all bad. You know, I'm very grateful to be where I am. I've got a very good support system, and ultimately I am happy. I just think I'm overwhelmed by the options that lay before me, and maybe the fact that whichever one I take, I suppose if it doesn't work out, it's all on me. Kind of a weird way of framing it, maybe, I don't know. But I'm just in a very, very heady place, as you can probably hear. I'm not sure if I'm actually making much sense. But I wanted to be honest, more open about what's been going on, because it's come up for me in such a big way this week. I don't feel like I cannot talk about it. And again, I'm not saying it because I feel like anybody is owed this information, and maybe nobody will even care. But if it makes anybody feel even slightly less lonely or comforted in any way, then for me, that's a job well done. And I'm really pleased about that. And I'm glad that you feel heard and seen, maybe. But I just feel like it's so interesting to be in a headspace with so many contradicting emotions playing out so strongly at the same time, and to be very much looking ahead at a new chapter. I thought I'd already entered a new chapter, and in a lot of ways I had, but I feel like I've hit a really serious fork in the road again, perhaps. And that's really exciting, but it's also quite terrifying. My life looks so different than it looked a year ago, and I can't even begin to perceive how different it will look in a year's time, or 2 years' time, or 5 years' time. You know, everything I thought I knew about what was coming for me has proven to be incorrect. It's not possible anymore. It's not going to be that way. You know, there are two sides to every coin, I suppose. There's the pain of it all, and the resistance. I've felt so much resistance to the change for such a long time. I guess that's why it took so long to actually end the relationship formally, because it was only about 6-7 months ago now that we actually broke up officially, even though I'd already moved out and all the rest of it. But maybe if this is something you end up going through, a grief of any kind, it will be helpful just to know that someone else has been in those kind of very complicated, mixed up feelings and was trying to work it out. And you know what? That they're going to be okay, and that you too will be okay. whatever it is that's going on for you. And it's funny because I think it's so important to say as well, because if you go on my social media, you'd probably never know. You'd probably never, ever know. Not that you should know necessarily, but you'd probably never know. And I think it just is a reminder to give people grace always. And just remember that you don't know what's going on for people. You don't know what they're going through. Because two things can exist at the same time. I have had a really great year, professionally speaking. I haven't worked super consistently, but I've done two really, really great jobs that are so different from one another and so have so helped me get out of my own way on this grieving process in very different ways. They've helped me work through a lot of things. So it's not to say that I've had a terrible year and nothing good has happened. And obviously I would prefer to shout about the things that are going well. Also because I want to have a portfolio to look back on and just go, you know what, you were doing great then, and just remember how you felt then and look what you've done and look how you've endured in spite of everything. For that, I'm so proud of myself, and I think everybody should be proud of themselves. We're all going through stuff all the time, and I think if you are getting up every day and carrying on, even if you're carrying on today doesn't feel like you're carrying on a week ago or a month ago or a year ago, you're still getting up and you're doing something. And I really just think that's so commendable. There have been days when I've really not wanted to do anything at all, not wanted to get out of bed, not wanted to talk to anyone, not wanted to do anything. I mean, you heard that voice note that I shared in EP 14. The sad one was really, really soon after the breakup. That's what I was upset about, trying to adjust to this decision that I'd made about my life. I was so anxious about it. I have been anxious about having made that decision for a long time, but I've got to a place now where I'm really accepting of it. I'm just still adjusting to the shift in my lifestyle, I suppose, and how I navigate this next chapter of my life. When you're grieving something, you just kind of go into survival mode. You just go into survival mode. I feel like for such a long time, I've just been surviving. I've just been putting one foot in front of the other in the hope that I'll make it somewhere, to some destination, whatever that is, but hopefully somewhere peaceful. But I do feel like I've been in survival mode for such a long time. And you know what? I'm really looking forward to being in thriving mode at some point in the near future. I think some big changes are going to come. Some more big changes are going to come. I think I've got some big decisions to make about how I move on with the rest of my life. And ultimately, of course, also my career. And rather than looking at that as a negative thing or a thing that's particularly upsetting, I'm really going to try and frame that as something very exciting. I get to make that choice independently. I get to make the choice that I think will serve me. Don't ask me what that plan is going to be right now, because I'm not quite sure. I just want to expand my life somehow. I feel like this is the time for expansion. That's one thing about grief. It really does put things into perspective for you. And I'm really noticing that now at the anniversary of just shifting my whole life around. The world is so big, and I'd been stuck in this very small bubble of my own creation for a really long time in a very unhealthy way. I think I was letting myself be treated in ways that were not acceptable. I think I was behaving in ways that were unlike me, the me that I truly desire to be in any case. My world has just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger by the day, almost, by the week, by the month. And that's never a bad thing. And yeah, grief is painful, but it really does just kind of put this big magnifying glass on your life. And it makes you kind of think, okay, well, I thought that was going to happen and it's not. So now what? What do I choose? What do I want to do? And when I've made that choice, I will let you know, I guess. Yeah, I really hope that was helpful in any way. It's a funny, bittersweet thing, grief, grieving, loss. I'm not sure if I've made a real coherent point here, but I've said a lot of things, and I hope that within that there's been something that has meant something to someone. And okay, one other little outtake, just because that was quite a lot. That was heavy. I went to watch a play. We spoke about this last week, me and Keisha, on the podcast when she came on as a guest. I went to watch a play last week. It was our friend Greg Lockett. He was in The Mousetrap. on the West End, and we went to watch him perform, like the absolute superstar that he is, and we knew he'd be. And it was just so nice to be on the other side of the curtain. Because, you know, you get used to something. When you're doing the same thing every single day, you kind of get locked into this bubble of what your show is and the theatres that you're working at and all the things that exist around your show. And then you just go and watch someone else do it. And it's such an exhilarating experience because all at once, because it's so fresh for you, you're thinking, gosh, I know exactly how they're feeling. I wonder if everything's going to plan. I hope that it's going smoothly for them. You know, just before curtain came up, I was thinking, gosh, Greg's out in the wings right now waiting to come on. I wonder if he's nervous because he knows we're in and he knows we're really close up to the front because we're annoying like that. So we're in the second row of the auditorium of the audience. There's all of those things going on. But then you're also like, gosh, I can just relax and enjoy the theatre. And I can remember for myself what it's like to be in the seat watching the thing. What's too big? What's too small? What's reading really well? What isn't? How does it feel to follow a story? And it's really funny. You know, there's quite a lot of farcical elements in there. And I feel like there were lots of synchronicities in terms of the kind of style of performance between what they were doing and what we've been doing. And that was really nice, actually. It was just really refreshing. And I would just say to anybody who is in a show at the moment or has got a show coming up that they're doing a theatre show, definitely go and sit yourself down for a matinee or on whatever your day off is. Go sit yourself down and watch another person's show, watch another company's show, because I think it's nice to put yourself in the audience's seat. I just found it really useful to be on the other side of the curtain that evening. And obviously I really enjoyed the show. I thought the cast were phenomenal. I thought they did a really great job. And it was lovely to see someone that I know as a screen actor, because I've only worked with Greg once, and that was obviously for the TV show. So someone I know as a screen actor doing their thing up on stage, like, that's just gorgeous for me. I really enjoyed that. So yeah, go watch some theatre. Even if you're not in a show or don't have a show coming up, go and get yourself to the theatre and enjoy some art. Oh, my love, before we go on, I just wanted to ask very quickly if you might be able to hit the like button, the subscribe button, the follow button, the rate button, whatever the platform allows for. 5 stars would be so awesome and a cheeky review, but whatever you think is fair is great too. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sorry to kill the vibe. And for making our way this week, I want to talk about trust. Particularly with regards to auditions. So I had a one-to-one with a client of mine from In the Room Coaching, and we were looking over some of their self-tapes and some of the work that they've done up till now, and kind of talking about why they may or may not be booking work off of those tapes. And, you know, the thing is, I can't tell you the answer that you're not booking work, and I also can't give you the thing that will make you book work. Nobody can tell you the answer except for the people that are casting those roles, and they probably all have different reasons. But what I had to repeat so many times over was that every tape I'd watched that this person had sent to me was great. In my opinion, absolutely great. Technically, there were a couple of things we could tighten up, and it's always helpful to be reminded of techniques that bolster your auditions, whether they're self-tape or in the room, in terms of acting techniques. But ultimately, the conversation was just to say, you're doing everything you can be doing. If you're doing your best, you're doing everything you can. The rest is down to timing and trust, trusting that when the time is right, you will book the job. And that's so frustrating to say, and it's more frustrating probably to hear, but it's the truth. Concentrate on making sure that you're work ready by the time you do book that job, because that's a lot of our job as well, is being ready rather than getting ready when the time is suddenly sprung on you. Because when I tell you, things change overnight, you know, one day you don't have a job, the next day you literally have a job. And it's like that. And then sometimes it'll be, okay, we're flying out to Morocco in 2 days. Sometimes it'll be, okay, you're going to come up to Birmingham and shoot in 2 weeks' time. Sometimes it'll be, all right, you've got a couple of months. But either way, you have got to be ready when you get the job and remain ready in the time between getting the job and starting the job, and then continue to just smash it and be ready throughout the job. There's no getting ready when the time suddenly appears. So I would say, you know, get feedback on your auditions if you feel you need it. If you're really worried about your technique, whether that's your camera technique for self-tapes or, you know, making the audition as real for you as possible, the circumstances as real for you as possible. And on the acting side of things, kind of building acting technique for them, an analysis as well, both of the breakdown and of the script. But aside from that, if you think you've got your audition technique down, you just got to trust and then put the rest of that focus on being ready for when you do book a job, because it comes up so fast. It will smack you in the face. It will hit you like a bus. It comes so quickly. And then you start to panic if you're not already ready for that. Make sure you've got your techniques down. Make sure you've got a routine down and ready. Make sure you know who you can call on if and when you need to call on them. Be that an acting mentor, be that an acting coach or teacher, be that your friends and family, whatever it is. Practically, logistically, mentally and emotionally, make sure that you are ready when that job comes knocking, because we wish for it and we wish for it and we wish for it. And I promise you, it comes around so damn fast. Don't be panicking when that time comes. Don't be panicking. I want to just say thank you so much. If you're still listening at this point, you have... You've really sat through a lot of me working on my own feelings in real time. So thank you very much for your time. My self-care intention for this week, I think, is going to be just to keep being honest with myself about where I am at, just to keep being really accepting and acknowledging of where I am. You know, there are 5 stages of grief. They don't necessarily come in order, but I would like to believe I'm moving into acceptance now. And I'm sure I still got a long road ahead of me, and I'm sure some of the other stages will try and ping back in every now and again. But I think honesty is the key to acceptance, isn't it? Which is thereby the key to healing. And I may not be healed yet, but healing is a process. I think being honest with myself is how I move through this next part of whatever it is that I'm going through. I say that I'm soon going to be grieving the show too, but not yet. So yeah, that's my self-care intention. Just keep being honest. And you know what? The other thing about that is that it lifts and lightens the load. The more people I've been honest with about how I'm feeling at the moment and what's kind of going on for me, firstly, the faster I can actually move through those feelings in that moment, if particularly if they're kind of negative feelings or in any way confusing or doubtful. But secondly, actually, I've been met with a lot of, yeah, no, I know exactly how you feel, or, oh yeah, I'm actually going through something very similar myself. You know, they say a problem shared is a problem halved, and that might be a massive cliche, but it's true. I'm not alone, you're not alone, we're not alone. And so just be honest about where you're at. You know, we don't always have to put on this facade for people. And if there isn't somebody you feel you can talk to in person, somebody at work or family member or a colleague, there are so many services that you can call up that are free of charge. There's Hopeline, which is Papyrus's suicide prevention hotline. There's the Samaritans. There are lots and lots of places where volunteers are ready and willing and able to support you if you're struggling with anything at all, or you just want someone to talk to. So yeah, my self-care intention is just to keep being honest and gentle with myself. What about you? What's your self-care intention for the next week? How are you going to look after yourself? How are you going to be more honest with yourself? And how will that support you in whatever it is that you're going through? I hope that you have a gorgeous week, whatever it is that you're going to be up to, whatever it is that you're going through. And I, again, just thank you so very, very, very much for being on this journey with me and for letting me go on today. And I just really appreciate having this space, and that anybody would consider sharing it with me, let alone that you actually do. So all that said to say, have a lovely week. Lots of love from me to you. I'm going to go finish off The Importance of Being Earnest in Kingston at the Rose. If you're looking for a way to escape the absolute chaos of this world for 5 minutes, well, actually it's about 2 hours and a quarter, then do come and see us for one of our final performances in Kingston this week. And if not, just take the very best care. And I'll speak to you next week.